This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligny Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
That's right, baby. It is the Gas House Gang, and it is Chris Ranji with you today, joined by Brendan Schaefer, as we are with you until 1 o'clock. And it's good to have you along for the ride today, for the next hour, as we talk some Cardinals baseball and more. Greg Amsinger will join the show at 12:15, Mike Claiborne at 12:30, but it's a lot of you as well, 314-436-7900. To join into the show by texting if you want. If you would like to leave us a message on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at KMOX Sports, that's where we are streaming the show live. You can watch Brendan and me. And so I see Brendan Schaefer. He has a shirt on. I have two shirts on right now. We're not doing tarps off on this show. And I love the fact that we are still talking about this, because it's been, well, I mean, it happened over the weekend, so it's Monday here, and I know that things like this can be, you know, some people would say, all right, let's move on. Let's move on from this. We've been killing it for 72 hours. Do we have to keep talking about it? And here's what I would say. Yes. Yes, let's keep talking about it, because I think this needs to keep going, or at least that kind of energy at the ballpark. And this is a very good baseball crowd, as you know, Brendan. And I think we've, you know, we'll always take solace in the fact that Cardinals fans love baseball and are supportive of the baseball team. But it's okay to add a little bit of energy that doesn't usually exist there. It's not that it's a bad baseball crowd. It's just a crowd that doesn't do it like that, you know? And I'd love to see this keep going somehow.
Yeah, I've been putting on my Cardinals marketing department hat for the last 48 hours, trying to think about, you know, what could they do next? I said, hey, and I heard you and Amy talking about it last hour. Do you confine it to the weekend? Is it part of the Friday night flair that they've already sort of established in recent years with the Budweiser Terrace and the kind of youthful energy that they're looking to bring to those Friday night parties with the City Connects? I think you could invite and have a different local college team be the igniter, be the tarps off igniter each Friday, if you wanted to do it that way. And you could get some, you know, it's Umsol 1 week and it's Harris Stowe the next week. And it's, you know, Westminster, like you come up with different ways to, I don't know, try to keep the party going. I think you need the youthful energy to do it, mm-hmm. Ranj. I think you got to have those crazy kids that have energy to burn starting it up. Tomorrow, Tuesday, I don't know that you can do it on a Tuesday night. Well, I guess we'll see. But I tell you what, the Cardinals are doing such a good job with marketing, you know, to come up with, and Oliver Marmol deserves a lot of credit to come up with, to say, hey, after his post-game comments on, I'll find out however I need to get those guys here every game. And then to make it happen Saturday, Sunday, to have the tarps off continue. I think they're doing an awesome job with marketing. I don't know if all of this happens in years past with the Cardinals. It kind of feels like this year fits the new energy of the organization that has kind of turned over a new leaf, and it's turning into winning, and it's also turning into the fans having a lot of fun, which will allow me to echo what you're saying. I think they have to find a way to keep it going as well.
Yeah, I would love to see it happen every night. It's tough with baseball. We know that. It's just difficult because it's every single game, and it's one thing to do it for a 3-hour, 15-minute football game once a week. One game once a week. It's easy to keep up that energy throughout that throughout a season. It's tough to do it every single night. I would love for this to not die quickly. Because sometimes, you know, if it is a fad, if this is a temporary thing, oftentimes that goes away fast. I just don't want it to. And and maybe this just becomes the story of the middle of May. Like, this is, remember when that happened in the middle of May, right, where that baseball team came into town and the Cardinals were playing well, and, you know, the youthful movement is happening, and everyone feels energetic. It feels fresh. It feels new. Everything about the Cardinals this year does feel fresh and new in all of that. I would love for this to not just be the story of this month, that this is something tangible that they can continue for the rest of the season. And who knows, hell, maybe make it a new tradition that's around for a while.
Yeah, find a way to do that and to capture the lightning in the bottle and keep it there. Like, the Cardinals are playing well this year, and so that's why it coincides, I think, with this beginning, and it allows for that energy to be there. Yes, do you run the risk of it becoming a little too manufactured, and then you start to look sideways at it? Yeah, there's always that risk, but I think leaning into it makes a lot of sense. And what the players have said about it, Ron, is that they love it. Mason Wynn was over the moon. They're doing three roll calls on Saturday, and Victor Scott tells me, yeah, Mason kind of said, you know, maybe overkill for the third time. Victor was doing step-back three-pointers every time. So I asked him about it, and he said, you know what? I think with those step-backs, I've got 9 points today. So to me, the more roll calls, the more step-backs, the merrier. He was into it the whole time. The players love it, and I think to be able to have that connection with the team that's kind of hung for something to maybe disprove what people thought about them from before the season, and a fan base that can kind of puff its chest out a little bit now and say, you know what, we are Cardinals fans. We are the best baseball town in America, and we want this to be something that we can kind of embody. I think if you channel it on the weekends, you might have a better chance to keep it going, because then there's not the chance of, oh, look at the Tuesday, nobody's doing it. Well, no, mm-hmm. Friday's our day. Like, don't worry about it. We're gonna have it on Friday and Sunday or whatever you may do. I don't know the exact answer. I know that there are some smart people, some savvy people within the Cardinals that are right now talking about this and working on this. I would be surprised if they're not considering ways to continue doing it in a way that they think can sustain itself. Yeah.
So that it seems like a continuation of the organic, right, as much as possible. But I mean, once the team takes it over, it's tough to do that. But because it started with an organic origin, I think you can. I think you can keep something like this going. And for me, maybe, I know we talked about this during the last show. I know that there are going to be Cardinals fans who will say, I don't care what anyone else thinks of us. And that is a perfectly reasonable way to see yourself as a fan or a fan base. That's okay. But I would like if we could get to a place where people around the country who follow baseball don't think we're so square. You know, they don't think we're so stuffy about baseball and, you know, arrogant about how good a fan base we are. And then you come to the games and people are polite. I'm not saying I want everybody to be mean, but I would right, like for there to be a little bit of grit or sandpaper or, you know, energy that isn't usually here. I think that'd be really, really nice. And it'd be cool for people from around the country to look at us and go, hey, Cardinals fans aren't so bad. They're not as bad as we've been told.
And you know who else has that grit a little bit and has that edge? It's the manager of the team, Ollie Marmol. You guys talk with him on this show every Tuesday. And I think that is such a great avenue that has allowed the fan base to be able to get a little bit more of an idea for what Ollie Marmol is all about. We see it going to cover him and being able to talk with him in his office for 20 minutes before every game. The reporters get a chance to see that. I don't know if it always has come across to fans the same because they don't get that level of access. So hearing him on Gas House Gang is wonderful. But I think a weekend like this one also gave fans a little more insight and a glimpse into what Ollie Marmol is all about. And he loves this too. Like he is eating this up. He was the one bringing those guys into the clubhouse on Saturday, allowing them to kind of have that moment with the team. And I feel like it's allowing the city almost to, because I think manager is a position in baseball where it's very difficult for fans to really get it and get what that job is. And if a reliever blows a game, it's the manager's fault.
That's right.
I think this has been something really productive, allowing for Cardinals fans to go, I can't tell you the number of comments I've seen where people go, hey, this Ollie Marmol guy is not so bad. I like this guy. He's fun. Yes. I've been trying to tell people this for several years, and they just it's very difficult, Ronge, in years where the team's not winning, and right now they're performing, and they're having fun, and you see the personalities come out. I think that blend is another reason that this Tarps Off thing has been so important and so positive for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are many baseball fans who think the job of manager is lineups and bullpen changes, pitching changes, using the bullpen and hit and run, that kind of thing. And yeah, there's a little bit of that, but the modern baseball manager is just as much a communicator as he is anything else. Communicator with his players, and I think communicator with the public and the fan base. And the fact that Oliver Marmol he embraces that role better than a lot of managers do. A lot of managers don't want that, or they want nothing to do with it. And he does. And I love that he does. And yes, we do talk to him every Tuesday, and that's part of it. The fact that he wanted to do this show, the fact that he is, excited about it, and it was actually his idea, and we have him every Tuesday at 12, that says a lot about him, because he wants to be able to communicate to the fan base, which is super important. Brendan Schaefer is with me today. Chris Ranji, Brendan with MLB.com, STL Sports Central, KTGR Big Show. He is on the show today on the Gas House Gang until 1. When we come back, Greg Amsinger from MLB Network, he will join us courtesy of Lindenwood University. That is next on the Gas House Gang.
Whoever started that in right field, I'll do whatever I need to do to make sure they come every game. Because that was awesome. Not only them, but everybody that showed up today. That was a fun environment.
It is the Gas House Gang on KMOX. Brendan Schaefer, Chris Ranji with you right now. And it is time to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line as we bring in our regular Monday guest. He joins us every Monday at around this time. It is Greg Amsinger, courtesy of Lindenwood University, here on the show today. Greg, how's it going? Good to see you.
Great. I thought about doing this segment shirtless, John Porter, the president of Lindenwood University, would probably frown upon that. So I decided to keep the shirt on. But I am motivated by what I saw over the weekend in St. Louis.
Yeah, so tell us about that, because we know you're a Cardinals fan. Nationally, it got quite a bit of attention and positive attention, which I think, for those of us who've been in St. Louis, we don't always get that. Nationally, there's a lot of criticism that comes our way, so it was really great to see what happened over the weekend happen. And you work with a bunch of people who are from all over the country. How did they see it?
Listen, the vibe and the narrative around Cardinal baseball in St. Louis is that it's becoming irrelevant. That's what the narrative was. People stopped going to games. It was driving me crazy. I did an event at Lindenwood University before the season started with Chaim Bloom and Ali Marmol, and I talked to the crowd, big crowd on hand, go to games. It's very important to go support the team. And I understand that, it's a new era. They're going young. Some people call it a rebuild, although they're a game and a half behind the Dodgers if you look at their record right now. The Dodgers spend $1 billion on the roster, so it doesn't really matter. But you got to go support. And the reason I said that is if you go back in time and you look at the signings of Carlos Beltran or Lance Berkman, or how do you keep Matt Holliday after you trade and acquire him and he signs a long-term extension? Because every home game was an event. It was a big deal. And big leaguers notice the fun environments to play in. So to me, it wasn't just the guys shirtless in right field. It was the fact that Ali brought him into the clubhouse. And then you look at the video of them taking their shirt off and, they're twirling their T-shirts. To see Jordan Walker loving every minute of it, to see Nolan Gorman smiling ear to ear, to see Victor Scott II laughing, to see the players enjoy it. That is a big deal, folks. If you can create that environment that where a home field advantage isn't just cheering on your team in game, it's getting players that someday you may sign as a free agent looking around going, man, if the money was equal, and there were three teams that wanted my services, I think I would give the edge to St. Louis, because playing in St. Louis looks like a pretty damn good time.
Greg, before we had you on, we were talking about the notion of the big league manager and how it's difficult, unless a team wins, for a fan base to really rally around a manager and get to know that guy. You know Oliver Marmol. Are you surprised at all that Ollie was leaning into this all the way that he has? Because he was behind the scenes orchestrating a lot of the momentum that was able to then continue through the weekend.
Well, that night, I said at Lindenwood University to all of the fans that were there, Ali Marmol, when I was done saying what I just said in front of all those fans, He grabbed the mic and said, "That's the most important thing you're going to say all night. We need fans at Busch Stadium." And he told the story of an unnamed young player who came up to him and said, "I actually like playing on the road more than I do at home." A young player said that to Ali Marmol last year because there was no one at the game. It was embarrassing to be the home team when no one's there to support you. So Ali Marmol understands the impact of human energy, totally gets it. He is a wonderful spirit. He wants to have a good time. I've had beers with the guy. He hat backwards. He loves life. He wants to have fun. And that felt like a party. And Ali Marmol likes to party. And I like to party. And if you're a fan in St. Louis and you grew up in the 80s, going to the old Busch Stadium, it was a party. So it looks like a bunch of young dudes are bringing the party back to St. Louis, which is vitally important for the Cardinals to be relevant long term.
So, and that's the thing that, as Brendan mentioned, we were talking about the job of a manager and how it's not, you know, I don't think people see it the way it actually is and what it is. How important do you think it is for modern baseball for a guy in that position to be a communicator, not just with his players, but with a fan base?
Well, listen, St. Louis and Tony Vitello went from Tennessee college ranks to the managerial role for the San Francisco Giants. It's not because of his ability to write up a lineup card or the X's and O's and shifting defenses. And it's not the X's and O's. That's not the reason Buster Posey, a future Hall of Famer, went and hired a guy from the college ranks without any managerial coaching experience. He did it because San Francisco is having a hard time getting free agents to come there. They just aren't coming to San Francisco. So the only way he can change the narrative is by creating a culture that looks fun. And Tony Vitello, I've had many drinks with Tony Vitello over the years. I promise I don't have a problem. I'm just saying, I've hung out with Tony Vitello. He's a good time. Tony Vitello is a fun guy to have a beer with. And baseball is a marathon, guys. 162. That's a marathon. The manager has to be a cool breeze on a warm day. And Ali Marmol is that. Tony Vitello is that. He's having some growing pains. He had a good weekend. Giants won the series and won two in a row. But he's trying to change the culture. So when other players are playing the Giants, they look in that dugout and they see a bunch of guys that are all pulling on the same side of the rope and they're enjoying themselves. And they go, you know what? Playing for the Giants looks like a pretty good time. Playing for the St. Louis Cardinals looks like a pretty good time. Fans can truly impact the future roster construction of a big league organization. That is not hyperbole. I'm not blowing smoke. It really is that important when all money's equal, where a player will lean towards.
Another aspect of this, you mentioned the new energy that Oliver Marmol and Chaim Bloom as well kind of understood that they had to bring into the equation to try and win the fans back over. I've heard from the Cardinals organization that they understood that that was going to be part of this. How much of a quality job do you feel Chaim Bloom has done in just sort of setting the pace and the tempo of where the Cardinals are in the way that they have begun this season?
10 out of 10. And I'm not just saying that. He could have held on to certain veterans and really tried to maximize value. He knew that it was more important to clear the air and let every player that they've already committed to know they're the guys. And the Jordan Walkers and the Nolan Gormans and the Yvonne Herreras, it was important for those guys to not look over their shoulder and see a disgruntled veteran or a guy like Brendan Donovan who's waiting for the other shoe to drop and he's going to get traded at some point. He got all of it out of the way. And I think he did a great job in terms of the inventory he got in return. But he knew it was imperative to get all of it accomplished. Move all of the money as fast as possible and let the entire 2026 season start anew. So I commend him because it's very unconventional. Many other presidents of baseball operations would have sat, held on to their assets, tried for maximum value, meanwhile messing with the mojo of the current 2026 season. That's not what Chaim Bloom did, and you're seeing the fruits of his labor now.
Cardinals are about to begin a 12-game stretch. Well, they were going to take on all the teams in the National League Central. They've only played a handful of games, really, against NL Central teams. But now you got the Pirates and the Reds and the Brewers and the Cubs going to face them all over the next 12 games. A team that's just won 4 of 6. How And I know it's baseball, so you can't really handicap what's going to happen, but how do you see things going over the next couple of weeks here?
I think we're going to get a dose of reality, to be honest with you. Are the Pirates really that good? They didn't look that sharp this weekend. You know, I can dive into the Pirates, but I'm not going to. But is Ryan O'Hearn really like an MVP candidate, middle of the order bat? Maybe. I mean, maybe he is. If so, wouldn't he have gotten more than a two-year, $29 million deal? Is Ben Brown really the savior to that injured starting rotation for the Chicago Cubs? Maybe. He's had a couple four-inning starts where he hasn't been knocked around, and they haven't acquired anybody. They haven't made a move, even though they've got three of their best pitchers on the IL. The Milwaukee Brewers, what's going on with Christian Yelich? Is he going to be okay? I know they got Andrew Vaughn back and Jackson Chourio, but, man, that is a massive question mark. Are the Cincinnati Reds, are they going to be able to put together any sort of competitive bullpen for the rest of the year? I mean, if you look at the month of May, they have dramatically fallen off their bullpen. So do you put a starter in the bullpen? Is Brady Singer going to get anybody out anymore? There are so many warts on all of these teams that if you just look at what the warts are for the St. Louis Cardinals, they're starting rotation doesn't strike out a lot of people. Okay. In modern baseball, I get missing bats is like it's the most precious thing you can acquire. But at the moment, they've got a pretty great defense, and the defense is getting people out. So I personally think if you're just ranking the warts of all the teams in the NL Central, the Cardinals have the fewest. And that's wild to say when you think of the payroll of the Chicago Cubs, when you think of the talent of Elly De La Cruz and Sal Stewart and now J.J. Bleda, who's been this incredible reclamation project, and the starting staff that they had before opening day. I think the Cardinals have fewer issues than the other teams in the NL Central. I'm not being a fanboy. I'm trying to put my MLB Network national perspective hat on here, guys. And as I view it, that's the forecast I'm giving you. I think the Cardinals are going to show everyone that top to bottom, they're the most well-rounded club.
How much do you feel the starting rotation just consistently keeping them in games? Almost never are they getting blasted early and they have to go to the bullpen in the third. That's not been a trend this year. How important is it that the Cardinals, as they're trying to kind of scratch and claw and do this, have pretty much been in every game because that starting five just keeps rolling and keeping it there?
Let me tell you something. One guy that needs some love is Andre Pallante. This guy is pitching deep into games. He's battling. He does not have a ton of swing and miss. None of the guys really do. I think Matthew Liberatore can be on a good night, a strikeout guy. But to me, the Cardinals have leaned in to weak contact pitchers and pitchers that aren't going to walk anyone. Those leadoff walks and two-out walks were just what ruined starts for the St. Louis Cardinals last year. They're trying to keep the ball in the zone and see what happens because they got a great defense. I mean, I got to tell you, Nolan Gorman looks great at third base. You know, J.J. Weatherholt has taken his second base. Based on defensive metrics, he's one of the top three defensive second basemen in the National League. So all around, this whole narrative, Ivan Herrera can't catch. Ivan Herrera can't catch. He can't let him catch. I keep seeing him behind the plate. I don't understand. I see him behind the plate. It's not a disaster. No one's hitting the fire alarm, you know? So I think the Cardinals' rotation needs to continue to give them length. It's vitally important. I said it last week because the bullpen, which I like the bullpen of the Cardinals, cannot jump into games in the fifth inning and have this team still be relevant come September. If they're going to be, dare I say, buyers, which I don't think they will, no matter what the record is, it's the process, long game. If they're going to be relevant in September, the rotation has to pitch into the sixth and seventh inning almost every single night. You can't wear out Swanson, you can't wear out Romero, and you can't wear out Stanek and O'Brien. Those four guys have to be able to give you their best come September.
Love talking baseball with you, man. Thanks, Greg. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, with us every Monday, thanks to Lindenwood University. That's where he went. Lindenwood has produced a lot of great broadcasters here in St. Louis, and he is a part of that. So we'll talk to Greg next Monday as well. Got Brendan Schaefer with me on the Gas House Gang. When we come back, we'll talk to Mike Claiborne on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, the Cardinals Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Is the tarp coming off here too?
You know it. You know it. Tarp got to come off, baby. Yes, sir.
Victor Scott III on the field after the game with our very own Mike Claiborne, part of the broadcast team here on KMOX, along with John Rooney and Ricky Horton. Today on the Gashouse Gang, it's Brendan Schaefer and Chris Ranji, and it is time to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line. We bring in Claibs, and man, what a fun weekend. Cardinals take 2 of 3, and everybody's shirt came off, too.
Almost everybody's shirt came off. There was some that, upon further review, probably should have left theirs on. But you know what? It was a fun weekend. It kind of reminds you of like a college basketball game, a high school basketball game, where you get kids, you know, that sit like under the basket and try and create distractions and just do what they can to feel like they're part of the game. You don't see it in baseball. I mean, if you go down to the Caribbean, you can catch some games down in DR and places like that where it's a party atmosphere. But this was something like we haven't seen before, and it was fun.
Claibs, I asked Greg Amsinger the same question, but I want to know from you, knowing Ollie Marmol the way you do, how much fun was it to kind of get to see his personality come out and the fans get to have a good idea of what he's all about after this weekend?
That's a great question. As I said to him yesterday, I said, I'm not sure if I've ever seen you have this much fun since you've been in uniform. I said, you know, granted, we won some big games and over the course of time, but just the fact that you were truly embracing it. And, you know, Brendan, it probably has a lot to do with the fact that he's got a bunch of kids that he can actually manage and coach. I mean, there isn't, you know, a bunch of veterans in the room. There's nothing wrong with having veterans. Don't get me wrong. But these guys are all in this together, and they're having a lot of fun. And I think he gets a real big kick out of watching kids have fun like we saw over the weekend, because everybody embraced it. I mean, there was nobody who rained on it. It was one of those deals where everybody was getting a kick out of it. But I really thought he had more fun with this than anything else, because that Sunday morning, I'm in his office and we were talking, and he just said, I got an idea. He makes a couple of phone calls. He says, Saturday rather. He says, I'm paying for tickets who anybody wants to sit up there. I'm paying for them. Put them on me. And he was so excited about it, you know, just wanting to create that energy in the ballpark. And let's face it, you know, when you play, you know, 162 and you play 81 at home, the energy isn't always the same in every game. And sometimes the opposition, their fans can be a little bit more lively than your own fans. And when we see it on the road, when the Cardinals play in certain cities, there'll be enough Cardinal representation there to let you think it's almost a home game. And the same thing happens here, where you'll see some teams come in with a bunch of fans, and all of a sudden they try and take over the house.
And you know, it's really difficult to separate the vibe with winning, because winning is one of the big reasons that you can have a good vibe in the clubhouse. But if we try to separate how well they're doing so far this year, what is the vibe down there? How does it feel? What is this clubhouse like for you now that we're almost 2 months into the season compared to what it's been recently?
You know, it's a business as usual. You know, I see guys who are really trying to prepare, whether it's notes or whether it's video or whether they're having meetings about the tell on certain individuals. I mean, it's a workmanlike atmosphere. I mean, you know, some places, you know, you have video games and ping pong tables and things of that nature. And sometimes those things are available and they have them out there. But I just see guys who come to the ballpark ready to put some work in. And I think the neat thing about it is, where when you're struggling, you know, well, guys are working harder. You know, you always hear that term. But when you're winning, it seems like they get there earlier and want more to do and want to be better and try to address why they weren't as good as they wanted to be the night before. So there's a lot of commitment. There's a lot of focus. And when you're winning, I think that creates an even greater challenge for the player, because they want to be better. and everybody's doing it. You know, it's not like one guy's carrying a ball club. You know, I mean, think about Joel Pozo, who until last Thursday had like 22 at bats for the whole season. And then all of a sudden he lights it up. And, you know, you think about Sejacy, who had was 0 for 30 at one point, and all of a sudden he gets into a key situation. And you look at the bullpen. Who knew who George Soriano was before the season started? I mean, there's
right.
so many different yeah. stories like that. And so when everybody's contributing, I think that's what makes it fun.
That's a great point, Klaibs. And Ollie has talked a lot about the preparation and continues to preach it. But I wonder about this aspect of it. You feel it gets enough attention publicly that the Cardinals are kind of catching this fire with a coaching staff that has now kind of been together for a little bit and has the ability to kind of get its hands on guys, and guys now know what the coaching staff is all about and vice versa. How much does that matter in being able to establish
Brendan,
this?
You are spot on. And let's go back to think about this. Pop Warner managed John Jay and Danny Descalzo. I mean, these guys have been together for almost 20 years. And when you look at our staff and Stubby Clapp, who's been a winning manager, and Pop has been a winning manager, and Ollie was a winning manager, and, you know, Descalzo and Jay came up through the organization, Clininger Tahan, who's been with the Cardinals since he was 16 years old. I mean, the nucleus that we have from a coaching staff, I think, doesn't get enough credit. You know, and then I think it's always incumbent upon bringing in people from other organizations like Brant Brown and Brandon Allen from the hitting side. So you have some different eyeballs. You have some different thoughts. And, you know, I've seen a lot of coaching staffs. This one is as good as I've seen, not only from teaching, because remember, they're young, man. There's some things that they're still trying to figure out. But then once you teach them, then you have to coach them up to get them prepared to how to recognize this and that. And that's what's making it fun. And I really tip my cap to this coaching staff. I mean, and they really work their butts off to get these kids ready to play.
Mike Claiborne, the Cardinals are 46 games into the season already, have only played 6 National League Central games so far. Now you've got this stretch of 12 games happening starting tomorrow with the Pirates in town, where they will face every team in the division. As far as a stretch of baseball goes, and even though it is still in the first, you know, third of the season, how important do you think this one is here over the next couple of weeks?
I agree with you in your direction on this. I think it's very important. You know, people in our division have their chest stuck out about the fact, hey, you know, we're the only division that has, you know, everybody over 500. Yeah, we haven't played everybody yet. And we started knocking each other off within our own division. I got news for you. That's going to change. And I'm more of a proponent. I'd rather see teams in our division than, you know, I thought at one point the interleague thing was a really good idea. And for the most part, it has been. But I think it takes away from the importance of how a 3-game series with Pittsburgh or Milwaukee can be compared to playing Cleveland or Seattle. You know, not taking anything away from them. But you know what? I tell you when I like to see them. I like to see them in October compared to April or May, you know, when it really counts. And I hope that when the CBA comes about and maybe they look at how scheduling works, we ought to go back to maybe playing one division from the American League, you know, during the season and focus on the teams within our own league. Or do they break up the leagues and just, you know, have divisions? Who knows what they're going to do? But I just feel like these next few games are going to be very important and really give you a better barometer on who you are. You're more familiar with the teams. Your prep work is going to be a little bit different because they know you and you know them. And so I think this is where managing coaching really comes into play. And because we're so young, there's not as much data on some of our guys as there are some of the other players. So I'm looking forward to it. And the Pirates will not be easy to play against considering, you know, we swept them. And, you know, everybody remembers when you get swept. So I don't think that the Pirates are going to come in here and say, oh, Cardinals, yeah, we'd be more than happy to roll over and lose 3 more for you. So I think these are going to be some fun games in Cincinnati playing that ballpark. It's always a challenge. So there's some real fun baseball coming up. And it also gives you guys a chance to maybe get in better shape so when you take your shirt off, you know, we don't have to, you know, cover the kid's eyes or anything.
That's right. I'll be outsourcing that. So I'm looking forward to it.
You're going to have somebody stand in for you.
That's right, man.
So you know what, Ron, what you ought to do is take those cutouts that we had during the during COVID and hold those over face under somebody else's body.
That's exactly right.
I think that's the route to go.
Done. Mike Claiborne, love you, man. We'll do it again soon, and we'll be listening tomorrow night to the broadcast.
All right, let's hope this rain gets out of the area. I thought we were going to have rain tomorrow, but if it's going to rain all day today where we can play tomorrow, I'm all for it.
Perfect.
Plus, I got too much laundry to do, so I'm good.
Hey, go do your chores, man.
Yeah, I've been choring all day, trust me.
Mike Claiborne.
See you guys later. Take care.
See ya. Part of the broadcast team here. You can listen in tomorrow. Pre-game show will be at 5:50 with a 6:45 pre-game Cardinals Pirates at Busch Stadium tomorrow night. Don't bring your shirts tomorrow, in fact, if you're going to the ballpark. Let me watch some Cardinals baseball. A few more moments to go with Brendan Schaefer. I'm Chris Ranji. It is the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Chesterfield Fence and Deck. And Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Brendan Schaefer, Chris Ranji on the Gas House Gang for just a couple more minutes before we pass it on to the Dave Glover Show. And, Brendan, yesterday Mason Wynn came out of the game a little bit early. They called it knee discomfort, and he talked after the game as if it wasn't a big deal. He wasn't too worried, could have played, but felt like he wanted to be cautious. I know there's some examination supposed to happen today. What do we know about that, and should we be worried, or is it just like he said, no big deal?
Yeah, I think we'll be kind of waiting with a little bit of bated breath on maybe what some further exams they might take a look at with him today. The off day comes at a nice time. The concern for me would be that because it's a knee and he's kind of had some knee issues in the past, you kind of do wonder about that a little bit. But for now, you're hoping to be able to take him at his word. I don't know that he would have said, yep, it looks bleak, even if it did, in terms of the post game yesterday. So it is something to definitely keep an eye on. The Cardinals, they need him, man. He's an important piece. With him and JJ up the middle, their defense alone has been a huge aspect of the Cardinals' success behind that starting rotation that we gave our flowers to earlier in the show. And then offensively, he's a key piece there, too. So, yeah, you're hoping that that's not anything that lingers and that maybe the Monday off day can take care of it.
It's been one of the best defensive teams in baseball this season. So you're right, because you look at the starting pitching staff, it's not like it's been particularly good. And I just saw numbers today about each team in baseball, their best pitcher in terms of wins above replacement, and the Cardinals' best WAR pitcher so far is Riley O'Brien, who's their closer.
Yeah,
which doesn't really, you know, that doesn't really happen. Normally, it's a starter that is your best guy because he affects more innings, and the fact that they don't have a starter there is kind of telling to what's been going on this year. And so, defense is such a big part of helping out a pitching staff.
Yeah, what I think is so crazy about that, though, is who's the Cardinals' worst starter? Like, who's their number five right now? Because I don't really think it's easy to answer that question. They have all been kind of bunched into the same area, but what they've done collectively is pretty good. Starters ERA is sub-4 right now, and nobody's getting blasted. That's such a key part of it, too, Ron.
Brendan, good to talk baseball with you today, man. We will do it again soon. I know it, so thank you.
Yeah, an hour flies by. It really does.
It's so easy, but I can't tell anybody that because then they'll start reflecting that in the paycheck.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Brendan Schaefer, STL Sports Central, MLB.com, KTGR, Big Show. Thank you for being with me. And tomorrow, don't forget, the Gas House Gang comes back at 12 o'clock. We'll have manager Oliver Marmol on the show at noon with Ackerman, Bernie, and me on 104.1 FM KMOX.